I just want to make a few observations, and I hope I'm sincere and able to do that, to be few, with regard to the nature of this table, and make just a few comments about the table as we come to it. It's not going to be exhaustive. I could say some more things, but I want to just look at our text in 1 Corinthians, the very familiar 11. Paul speaking in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" He is evidently referring to some divine institution as it was given even to him, and reminding them what we are to do. "And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And then it speaks of a worthy partaking. First of all, just one observation with regard to this table. It's a table of commemoration. It's a table of remembrance is what I mean. Obviously, it says it two times in our text. Do this in remembrance of me. And it's very interesting, isn't it, what Christ wants to be remembered for as he's risen. I mean, if we would want to be remembered for something, maybe you would think Christ might say, "Remember me in the transfiguration when I showed my glory on the mountain. Remember me as I raised Jairus' daughter. Remember me as I fed 4,000 and 5,000. Remember me in those glorious acts of releasing men from spiritual bondage or demonic oppression." Or maybe you might just say, "Remember me now as I'm just lifted up above all and raised to the highest place." But isn't it interesting that when Christ appoints something to be remembered, that what is the most precious to him and most special and what is most profitable for us, he says, is, "Remember me crucified. Remember me crucified." That's not often something that we'd want to be. "Remember me at the point of my weakness. Remember me when I was reviled and rejected of men. Remember me when I was hanging on a cross, bleeding out my life. Remember me when the wrath of God was upon me." And as we think of that remembrance, why is it that he wants us to remember the cross? Well, I think it's because our religion is all of the cross. Everything, all of our hope, all of our redemption, everything, the wisdom of God, the glory of God is manifested chiefly in the cross. It's there that Christ conquered in the cross. It's there that he consummates obedience to the Father. It's there that the highest obedience was ever paid to God that was ever given. It was there that the greatest faith was manifested as he committed himself into the Father's hand. It was there that the greatest love for man was ever manifested when God himself was at enmity, as it were, with his Son and setting his sins upon us and judging him. It was here on the cross that the focus of redemption, the fulfillment of scriptures was coming to a head, on the cross. It was here that Christ frontally assaulted death. It's here on the cross that he frontally assaulted devil and hell and all of those things. It was here at the cross that the great victory of Christ was won. And so it's just appropriate that he says, "Listen," and as I've said before, I think it's so true, that he will come in glory and he will rout all of his enemies, and his kingdom will be set up as an everlasting kingdom forever and ever. But the greatest victory will not be that. If the greatest victory was already done, the great conquest was already accomplished on Calvary, and that's what he wants us to remember. And it's this conquest that he wants us, it says, to remember. Sometimes it's not just simply the fact of it. It's kind of like we remember Pearl Harbor. It's like the Texans used to remember the Alamo. It wasn't, "Oh yeah, that was March 1836. Pearl Harbor, that was December 1941. It's not just remembering a fact, and it's not remembering just simply a date. It is to remember it. Remember, what were they doing, those Texans, when they said, "Remember the Alamo"? It was to bring fresh sense about what they were about in the fight for Texas independence. Remember Pearl Harbor was to remember what the conflict is was all about. And so it's a memory that's not just simply just looking impassively at facts, but looking back at some fact in some point of history and being renewed and restored and stirred up by that particular fact. And to bring it refreshing back to our mind again. And that is what we're to do, is we're to come to this table, not just with kind of a dead reflection and a dead acknowledgement, but we're to come that our own hearts would be renewed, re-stirred with regard to the fact of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come, and He appoints it for that purpose, that we'd be reminded again afresh of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you think of everything else, there's nothing else really worthy to be remembered, is there? When time and history is all passed away, there'll only be one thing worthy to be remembered. And that was His obedience and death on the cross. That's the theme we know of glory. There's nothing to be remembered in what we did. And so it's kind of good to come back and say, listen, this is what it's all about. This is what's good to be reminded of. And we boast in the cross. We glory in the cross. And that's why we're reminded of the cross, because it is all our salvation. But also, notice something else very simple. And I'll be done with this. I have about five, but I'm just going to do two, and we can take up those other ones as we go. But notice he says, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim the Lord's death. You speak of something. It's what I would call, it's a table of confession here. And in light of this morning's message, what we are confessing as we come to this table is that we're brides. We confess that we've entered in and we've made those vows to the Lord Jesus Christ. We make a public declaration, really what it is. It's faith made public, that this death had something to do with me, and it had something to do for me, and that I have received what He has done on my behalf. Because this table is a reception of Christ. And so we testify as we come that we have owned the death of Christ. And Matthew Henry said, we confess in this table our value and esteem for Christ crucified. That's what we're doing. But let me ask you this as we come to this table, because if I'm confessing that I own Christ, there's a lot of other things that I'm confessing if I own Jesus Christ. I'm confessing that I've owned the very things that He's died for my sake, right? I confess that as I proclaim Jesus Christ and His shed blood, then I confess that I have died to sin. I confess that having died to sin, that I am seeking to deny sin in my life. I'm seeking to mortify sin in my flesh. As I confess Jesus Christ crucified, that He died to bring me to God, to put me to death to sin and make me alive to righteousness, that I'm also pursuing holiness, those things that please Him. I also confess that if He died for me, then I am living for Him. And so I'm confessing also a life that is lived not for my sake, but for His glory and for His pleasure. And so when I come to this table, it's not just simply something where I'm just kind of saying, yeah, He died. I'm saying I own it and I embrace it. And the very purpose for which He died and for which I'm remembering are the very purposes that I want carried out in my life. I'm proclaiming that my life is going to be a testimony of the crucified work of Jesus Christ that sets men free from sin and alive to God. In other words, it's something that I'm proclaiming not just simply in my partaking of the table, but I'm going to proclaim it in a life that's lived in obedience to the Lord. I'm resisting. I mean, if He died to give me Himself for my sins, to deliver me from this present evil age, then I'm testifying also that I am resisting this world, resisting conformity to this world, that I'm avoiding friendship with the things that will pull me away from Christ. That's what I'm declaring as I come to this. I'm making a proclamation. And I'm making it that just simply, I'm not, it really, maybe it's this. I'm serious about what I'm saying. I'm remembering a very eternal, significant work, the most eternal, significant work in all of history. But that eternal, significant work has had an effect in my life. And as I remember it, I am also proclaiming it. That I am living a life that is manifested in the very things for which He died. A mortification of sin, a seeking of righteousness and holiness, a resisting conformity to the world and friendship with the world, that I'm serious. This table basically is we're able to go. Is it apparent that the death of Christ has been is manifest in our life? Is the cross manifested in our life? We carry it forth. It's what we do. And so I leave it with that as we come to this table. It is a privilege to remember his death. The Alamo and Pearl Harbor were not very pleasant experiences. Neither was Golgotha. But out of Golgotha was a great victory. And so it's all different than anything man's ever accomplished.